This is TJX episode number 63, Collecting Music. Hi everybody, I'm your host DJ City with
DJ Gladiator.
And once again we're here for TJX Japan Experience. And today we're going to look on a different road, a road that we don't really travel as much.
Not anymore, no.
And that is the power of Japan music. Not the music of itself, but the recording industry that records the music.
That's right. We've got what we're looking at specifically is the fact that the physical media is still being sold at a pretty good pace. Whereas elsewhere in the world, North America, it's gone pretty much completely digital.
Yeah, and the problem with the problem I'll first put out as digital is the ability to lose the data, to lose audio. Hard drive crashes, you lose all your data.
That's getting a little better these days with cloud storage and all that good stuff that's coming out. But yeah, that is the problem. Whereas with physical media, you can burn it, you can rip it, you can lose it, but you've still got the actual CD and you've got it.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about looking at audio as a whole. Say, looking back at when it was CDs, when you were in Japan. Singles. What was so interesting about the singles at that time?
Well, you've got the traditional CD, which is, what, maybe 20 centimeters across, 30 centimeters across, not even that big. So 20 centimeters across. And the singles, though, were 12 centimeters across. So, you know, four and a half inches or something like that, five inches.
So were they small little discs?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Essentially, they were small little discs. And they were housed in these little rectangular compartments instead of a regular traditional CD case.
And I remember what was interesting about them is that they used to come with the instrumental track.
Yes.
So no vocals, just music.
That's right.
I guess this helped karaoke fans practice their karaoke.
Yeah. Listen to the songs, maybe sing along while they're singing. And then you've got only the instrumental, so you can do it yourself.
Cool. And what about sometimes they used to come with specialties, like live tracks? Is that true?
Yeah, it depended on the artist, depended on the record label, but you might be able to get a live track thrown in on the CD single to help sell it a little bit, as well as a regular coupling track, which is what they used to call the B-side tracks.
Yeah,
that we know about here in North America.
Now, I remember, just to give an example here, one of the CDs that gave us a live track was Brilliant Green.
Yes.
With their single, I Know Hoshi, I believe it was.
No, it wasn't. You're thinking of the song Rock and Roll.
Rock and Roll Live, yes.
That was
Tsutsumi Hana?
Yeah, it was one of the earlier ones. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Okay.
In fact, as I knock things around.
Yeah, this is why you're hearing the boom boom, is because Gladiator is trying to dig out his phone out of his back pocket.
Yes, because wouldn't you just know, I've got TBG on my phone, and I believe I've got that song. The single that had Rock and Roll Live at Shibuya Club Quattro was Sono Speedo De.
Sono Speedo De. Okay, yeah, I know that one. That was off their first album?
Off the first album. Yeah. It was the follow-up single after There Will Be Love There.
Okay. And that's a nice little thing about them, because even, I'm thinking of the Lady of J-Rock.
You're thinking of Aikawa Nanase?
Yes. She has a couple of live tracks, like 0000?
Yeah.
And I believe that, I don't remember what single that's off of. But that's the beauty of these mini discs. They had like certain, also, let's take an artist that I happen to like, Mr. Children. Theme of S. You know the song. You've heard me sing it many times. Well, on the Theme of S, as a coupling track, there was a remix version of one of their other songs that I've never heard the remix ever again. Only on that single.
Yeah, that was one of the great things, especially when the record labels did that, so that you would get more music once it came time to release the album. Now, this wasn't a 12-centimeter single, but another kind of cool thing, going back to TBG, was By My Boy.
Okay.
It had the single, and then it also had demo tracks of There Will Be Love There and Nagaitame Iki no Yoni.
That would be kind of cool to hear.
Yeah.
Now, even before the MP3 started to take off, there was starting to become a movement of digital audio. I remember you having the Mini MD.
Yes.
And that was starting to take off. In Japan, it took off.
Oh, yeah.
And North America just went...
Sort of did a little, you know, uptake.
It took a little, and then it just crashed.
Yeah.
Then they tried to revive it again, and it just didn't go anywhere.
That's right.
I think it was Iowa that was trying to revive it, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. And I personally am still a fan of the MD. I think the MD was one of those iconic devices that I think led to MP3.
Oh, yeah, sure. And it was actually really kind of strange walking into record stores in Japan with MD being at the height of its popularity in Japan and seeing pre-recorded, albums on MD.
Well, they tried to bring it out here, but it didn't work. Mariah Carey, I think, was it, and Michael Jackson they tried to do it with.
Yeah.
And it just didn't fly off. But in Japan, it took off, right?
No, actually, I don't think it really did.
Really?
I saw it a few times, and then you never really saw it again. You just saw the blank MDs.
Hmm. I guess the blank MDs did better, I guess, in sales-wise.
Yeah, and plus the fact that you had music rental stores where you could rent the music, take them home, throw them into your stereo, and copy them over to your MD and then return it. And, yeah, no, you don't do that thing.
No, you don't copy music? Why would you do that?
You don't do that, no.
No. But they rented it out for you to do it anyway.
Exactly.
Well, okay, let's talk about getting more into the MP3 market. Now, Japan started giving out free stuff with their first presses.
Yes.
Remember correctly? Why don't you explain that? Because I know you have more experience with first presses than I have.
Well, it was never something to combat MP3s per se. It was always just something there as a reward, if you will, for the fans to come out and spend their money. Because in Japan, it was always expensive to buy CDs. You're talking 3,000 yen for a regular 10-track album or maybe 12-track album. So to get you out on the first day, I remember I bought Speed's second album, Rise. On the third or the fourth day, it was released. Actually, no, it couldn't have been. It had to be the first. Because they would have been so popular, first pressing would have been gone by the third or fourth day. And when I bought it, they handed me a poster. Right? So nowadays, CD Japan, one of the great places to buy Japanese music.
Yes, and if you buy music from CD Japan, you tell us so we can send you out a special code so you can get on the website and buy that music.
That's right. They will tell you not only that there will be a first pressing available, but if advised, they will tell you what that first pressing is and that specialty is.
Really? So they would tell you what the music was?
Yeah, so they'd tell you what you're going to get before you even necessarily agree to buy it.
Huh. Now, if the U.S. had a concept like that, I think, in music, I think we would have more music sales.
Oh, probably.
As CDs go. But talk about, now we're starting to see another shift in the shift in music again.
Right. Well, for a long time, you've had CDs and DVDs being added for maybe a couple hundred yen more. Originally, it was maybe free, but now it's a couple hundred yen more, and you would get maybe a couple of PVs, promotional videos, or on rare occasions, you might get a few live tracks, or in the really rare occasion, thinking like Ayaka with her second album, you actually got a full concert live.
If you went for that one.
If you went for the right one.
I stupidly went for the PVs, which I'll admit, PVs are really nice to watch over and over again. But nothing beats a real life concert. I remember when we were reading the book, going, okay, well, you can get the original. You can get the DVD with a few, as they put it.
Yes.
Clips from a concert. It wasn't a full concert. It was supposed to be clips.
Yes.
And turned out to be a full concert.
Yeah.
Or you can get the DVD with the videos. I thought, hey, you know what? I liked her videos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want concert clips, because it might be the same as the videos. It might just be blah, you know?
Right.
Nothing spectacular. So I went, I think I'll go with the videos. And I know you went with the concert.
Yeah.
And you got the better one of the two.
Yeah, and I think we were planning to maybe do the
Switch
bad
watch.
Thing. And,
yeah.
You know, let us borrow. We borrow the others.
That's correct. We borrowed. That's right.
That's right. But really, I mean, physical media was always something that they dressed up, especially for first pressing. You've heard me talk about it before, things that Misha has done with some of her DVDs. Another one, one of the first really big ones was, again, a Speed. Speed did a movie back in the late 90s. And the director was Takashi Miike.
Yes.
And when they put out the VHS version, I'm not talking DVD, folks. This is still back when VHS was king.
What's this VHS thing you talk about?
It was a tape and a big cassette, and you put it into a thing called a video cassette recorder to watch.
I don't remember.
Regardless.
Oh, wait a minute. Was it that little black stuff that came in like a round in a big black box and you would put it into a machine?
Yeah.
And it played video on the screen?
Right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I remember them.
Yeah.
God, it feels like 50 years ago since I've used one.
Anyway, you had two options. You had the regular version, which was just the VHS movie. And then you had limited edition first press, which was a making of as well as the movie in a commemorative box and a booklet with handwritten letters from each member of Speed talking about the experience of filming the movie. I thought that was kind of cool. It was also pretty expensive. It was 10,000 yen. And if you know what 10,000 yen is, folks, you're probably thinking, you're nuts! You're right, I probably was.
Come on, you were just a Speed nut.
Yes, I was. And I wasn't expecting it to be all that big. I was thinking maybe it would be 6 inches wide by 10 inches long or something like that. And you've seen it. The thing is massive.
Yes, it is totally massive.
That's one of the great things about having it, collecting it, and it makes it easy to show it.
Makes it easy to show it?
Well, if you've got the right setup, that is.
Okay. I just remember you showing me this bit. I remember seeing this white box and going, what is this? And I showed it to you. You go, oh, yeah, I bought that in Japan. It's a VHS. I thought it was a Laserdisc, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Because I remember Laserdisc being the size of vinyl records.
Right.
And I used to have a Laserdisc player.
Yes.
Had it for about 6 months and then died on me.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of sucks because I did buy a whole bunch of anime on Laserdisc and then I just got rid of it.
LDs were huge in Japan when I was living there.
Yeah, because they were better quality than VHS.
Definitely.
And
DVD hadn't come along yet.
Nope.
To make it more compact.
Now we're kind of digressing off the topic that we got in mind. But also, the fact is that movie is now available on VHS North American wide.
Yes, it is.
So, VHS. Although
DVD is what you meant.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's subtitled too. So if you're looking at getting it, we'll pull up links.
Yeah. The name of the film is Andromeda.
So if you're a Speed fan and you haven't seen it, go check it out.
Yes, it's not a great movie, but it was an interesting movie.
Really? It was a good movie?
I didn't say it was a... It was okay. It was decent.
Yeah.
But mainly if you're a Speed fan.
Yes.
If you're not, then it's probably really bad.
Mm. Not one of the best movies out there.
No.
Okay. Well, getting back onto subject. I remember Uta Hikaru. When she released Distance, didn't she pack up something in those DVD boxes too?
Yeah, actually, I got, with my first pressing of Distance, a little coaster for cans of pop to be put down on.
Yet, I don't think a North American can would fit on that.
No, I don't think it would either.
But it was a nice little feature. I think you got a poster when you bought, was it Deep River?
I got one when I bought Deep River, when I bought Unplugged from Utari Hikaru. I got a poster there, and that one is framed, so is Deep River, because that was a gorgeous picture. I can't count the number of albums that I've purchased that have come with posters.
And let's not forget cassettes, too. Cassettes were kind of interesting how they came packaged, too. Nice big clamshells and heavy plastic was used to form them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember your copy of Princess Mononoke.
Yes.
The one from, came in a nice big clamshell.
Right.
And your video was sitting in it, which I thought was kind of interesting, too, that they would put that much more effort into video cassettes and DVDs.
Yeah, another VHS that came rather interestingly packaged was Misha's first PV collection. Because, it was sitting in the original, cardboard sleeve that everybody's aware of, if they remember VHS tapes. But it actually had a clamshell that it came in for first pressing. And you got this funky Rhythm Media Bear keychain with it. I've still got it. I've never opened it.
You know, you should put that on your keychain.
Yeah, I've done too many of those and ruined them just from regular wear and tear.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
But these are the things that the record companies, or maybe it's the artists or combination of both, that they just don't think about doing over here to try to increase sales or to get interest in first press.
Yeah, and I remember, like, if the record companies over here did that, I think the record companies might have been in better shape.
Oh, yeah.
And might have drove more fans to buy the music rather than download it.
That's right.
Hmm. Now, what about, I know there was another artist that really kind of changed the idea. And I think it was Glay that kind of threw out this weird box on us. I believe it was Love is Beautiful. There was no report of it coming with that if you got the DVD version and CD version together, you get this nice photo book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like thrown out at us.
Yeah.
No report that we were getting this nice, beautiful book. We got this nice, beautiful book inside the box. I was like, what's this? Pictures of Glay characters laying on a car.
Yeah.
And just photo shots and everything else for the album cover.
Oh, yeah. It was... You get lots of great stuff there, and I don't know.
To maybe just this throw just it in a, there.
Yeah.
B's Treasure album, where you got the two discs, and then you could have got the third one, which had a third album, which was just a single.
Yeah.
Or B, you got the DVD, which was supposed to be clips from a concert, according to CD Japan, which turned out to be the Zeppu live concert, Jim 2012 special edition.
Right.
Which was not packaged with just a CD, which wasn't packaged alone. You got a full concert inside the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. So, you know, they're really doing things to push sales. And it's not like Japan is shunning MP3 sales from iTunes or whatever else. You watch a program like CDTV, and for the life of me, I can't remember the actual Japanese term for it. But they do.
Chaku.
Yeah, anyway, it's not coming to me either right now. But basically, it's the top 10 downloaded songs of the week on smartphones. Or Japanese J-phones. Not necessarily smartphones. And that's been something that they've been having access to for years.
I don't understand how they could be having it for years, and yet we're so late to getting on the game. Yet we were the first ones to come up with the highest speeds for internet usage on a phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems kind of backwards in that way. They're always first in technology, and so it makes sense that they've got access to digital media first. But the speeds are, I don't know, maybe too much. Too much competition or not enough... space to put all the receivers, or who knows. But that's digressing off the original topic as well.
We're digressing everywhere.
Yes.
Soon we'll digress off a hill.
And then we'll just fall to our death. No, not really. So the question we originally started thinking of is, as collectors, you know, why are we so interested, especially when the prices are so much higher?
Because you get so much more for the price. I mean, it's quality that's there in the packaging.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at any CD that's a first pressing, and usually there's something inside of it. Like right now, with Ikimori Kakari's new single, new album that's coming out.
Yes.
I think it's called I, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
The basic set, okay, sure, you get, with your first pressing of the regular CD, you're going to get a card from Ikimori Kakari, which is a
standard thing that they do.
It's kind of like you collect all the cards for like a game like Magic or something like
that. Right, it's trading cards.
It's a trading card. That's what I was looking for. Thank you. You get a poster, and that's it. Right. That's about it, I think, as they said. With the DVD, you get the poster, you get the DVD, you get it, you get the card, you get the poster. I believe
there's you get a booklet.
A booklet. On top of that, I believe it's going to probably come in a sleeve. In a sleeve, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you order a regular edition, it just comes in regular CD. Where you order the special edition, usually comes in a sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of different for audio CDs because you don't see them in sleeves.
Right.
Over here in North America. There's no extra packaging to go with it.
No, they don't dress it up at all.
No.
They just throw it in a regular CD.
Price is $9 and there you go.
Exactly.
But with Japan, it's like still $30, which I think is still a little high. I like to see it go down.
Maybe, oh, sure.
You know, down to maybe what?
2,000 yen even.
2,000 yen? You'd like to see it go that far down?
Sure. Hey, I'd love to. I'd be buying more music. No questions asked.
Yeah. Well,
2,000 yeah. 2,000 yen. I mean, for the cost of two CDs, you can get three and so on and so forth. But down to 2,500 yen or what have you. And
yeah, I think that would make me buy more too.
But it's all that interesting, and I'm just saying but all the time. I don't know why, guys, so.
Has to be Tret.
Yeah, gotta be. That's the answer.
No, but looking at CDs themselves, like, I mean, I would buy more if they were that lower cost. The problem is they are still highly chargeable in Japan.
Yes.
Concerts cost about 6,000 yen.
For the DVD,
The DVDs, and then some of the DVDs are worth it. Some of them are not. Like looking at Ikimori Gakari's latest concert, three CDs.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, not three CDs, three DVDs. I find that, okay, $60, I'm comfortable with that right now. If it was like one or two DVDs, maybe 50, maybe 40.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to remember shipping, costs, handling, getting across the border, paying customs, paying border fees.
That's right.
It adds up after a while.
And something else that just started coming out that I noticed rather interestingly, I was perusing CD Japan, noticed an English version best of from Monkey Magic. And not only were they offering a special edition with a DVD, they were offering a special edition with a Blu-ray.
Blu-ray now is starting to come out. Wow.
Yeah.
So you're going to get the Blu-ray, I guess, eh?
Oh, yeah, since I have so many Blu-rays already. You know.
Well, it makes interest for you to buy a Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
So if you want DJ Gladiator to buy a Blu-ray player, as we digress again.
just tell me to buy the Blu-ray version.
Yeah. Tell me you should buy a Blu-ray version, as I digress again. But you're seeing all this change in the music industry in Japan. Yet the U.S. just kind of went, whatever, throw their hands up in the air and said, MP3s for everybody.
Yep.
Okay. And I really think, like, music quality has dropped down. Like, look at your latest copy of Superfly.
Yeah.
You got a vinyl record.
Yes, that's right. With Force.
You don't see vinyl coming out as a special.
Never. You don't see it anywhere.
Well, you still see vinyl still being sold.
Yeah, of course. But new produced vinyl as part of a current popular act, whether it be in Japan or in North America, you don't see vinyl being produced and being actively marketed as part of a first pressing or anything. You just don't see it. It may be available, but you got to go look for it.
Yeah, and I mean, I like vinyl personally myself. That sounds kind of weird, but I've always liked vinyl. You know, you hear that subtle and then you hear the music play.
Yes.
Something about vinyl versus digital, there's a little bit of a difference.
sound quality, the texture of the sound, if you will.
There is a little bit of a difference. If you own a turntable or you remember what a turntable looks like, if you're too young, you probably don't even know what word heck we're talking about.
No, but maybe talk to your folks. They may still have a turntable around. They may even still have their vinyl around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fish out one of their albums. Doesn't matter who it is. Find it digitally online. Play it on the turntable. Compare the two. And see if you can hear the difference in sound quality. The difference, well, there's going to be a difference in sound quality, obviously.
Oh, definitely.
Especially if they've played it a lot. But the different texture that you get from the vinyl recording rather than the digital.
I have a vinyl of the 45 version. Like, this is just to give you an idea of what I listen to, all different types of music, people. I listen to the old stuff from the 60s and 70s all the way up to the new stuff now. To give you an idea. I'm talking like, you remember the song Build Me Up Buttercup?
Yep.
Used in the movie There's Something About Mary. I have the original soundtrack from the movie. I have the original 45 from my parents' old collection.
Really?
You listen to the 45, you listen to the digital version, you can hear subtle differences. It sounds smoother on the 45, yet the digital version brings up, you can hear certain sounds that you didn't really hear that clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a difference in sound.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Definitely.
But so the reason that we as music fans and as collectors still go after the CDs is for all these little bits of extras that come in them. Soon you'll be seeing people not having them anymore and looking for that piece of stuff.
Yeah.
Like in the Bee's Best Pleasure 2, we got keychains.
Yes.
Well, I guess they're called lavalier.
You're thinking of, I can't think of the word.
Yeah, the straps that you wear around your neck.
Yeah.
And would have like...
Lanyards.
Lanyards, thank you. So, you know, you get this nice lanyard that came in the collection.
Yeah.
They're probably all disappeared now. People have probably lost them. I still have mine.
Yeah, I think I've got mine. I know that. Where it is, I may not know, but...
All I know, mine's in a bag somewhere in my house with about 20 other lanyards in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I collect lanyards.
But the point is, you know... We could have just purchased the album through iTunes or some other, digital source when it first came out. We're certainly listening to them digitally because it's just so much more convenient to be carrying around the smartphones that we have.
Well, back in the day, it was people were carrying around MP3 players. I was still rocking it with the MD.
Yes.
And people were like, what's that you're using? MD player. Why? What is it? It's a little disc that stores all my music on it. Plug it in, press play. And they look at you going, huh? Oh yeah, I got this remote here. Allows me to adjust my volume, set my audio the way I want it to set.
Yep.
Works perfectly.
Glance down and I can see the track title.
Yep. And people look at us going, huh?
Yep.
Why would you want that for? It's like, because it's cool. No one else has it. And I remember picking up my first MD player for... $179.
Mm-hmm.
This is back in 2004.
Yep.
I was like, wow, this is the coolest device ever.
Oh, yeah.
Then I discovered podcasts and iPod, and that was it. I was ruined.
Yep.
I hope they can forgive me, the MD gods.
Yes, I remember having long conversations back in the early days of MP3 players and iPods and, saying how I would never go over... I still want to be an MD because I had been an MD guy for about 3 or 4 years at that point. And, well, MD died. We don't need to go into that. Digital recording took to the forefront because of the ease of it to carry it around.
Man, this episode's been everywhere.
Yes, it has.
We've been talking about everything that's been old technology, new technology, and why... People still have CDs and why CDs will probably remain a staple in purchasing music.
Yep. And as long as you've got collectors that want those little extras, it'll always be around, and maybe that's something that the North American music scene should invest in, at least the record industries, if they want to get back into physical sales.
I think they're done.
Yeah.
I think they let it slide, but... You know, people, there's still time for you to go out and buy yourself a CD or an MD. Anyways, till next time, I'm DJ City.
And I'm DJ Gladier.
Till next time, Jenny.
Bye-bye.